Welcome once again to the life and times of Sugar Ray Leonard here on the Hitman Chronicles. This is part 5 of my historical overview of Sugar Ray Leonard's illustrious, legendary career. The man that I say that, in my opinion, is the greatest fighter of my lifetime from when I started watching boxing in 1977 to the present day. And today, we will take a look at his March 31st, 1980 fight against Davey Boy Green. Now, in the last episode, we chronicled his virtuoso performance against Wilfred Benitez in winning Benitez's WBC Welterweight Championship on November 30th, 1979. Well, less than 2 months after that incredible, legendary, iconic performance, Sugar Ray Leonard and his longtime girlfriend, Juanita, finally got married. They had a child in 1973 together, Ray Jr. Ray Jr. at this point in time was 6.5 years old. In early 1980, January 19th, 1980, at, I believe it was the First Baptist Church in Landover, Maryland, the same area, the same town in which his fight versus Davey Boy Green will occur 2 months later, on January 19th, 1980, Sugar Ray Leonard and Juanita finally got married. And he chronicles the day in his autobiography, The Big Fight. I highly recommend you guys read that book. Sugar Ray Leonard makes some shocking allegations that occurred to him when he was younger. We'll go into it on future episodes. Right now, we're just going to focus in on this time period, and there will be a shocking revelation at the end of this podcast that happened after the Sugar Ray Leonard versus Davey Boy Green fight. We'll talk all about it later on in the episode. But after Sugar Ray Leonard got married and after the honeymoon was over, and in his book, he said it wasn't much of a honeymoon because he was out doing presto. They went to Los Angeles for their honeymoon, Sugar Ray Leonard and Juanita Leonard, Mrs. Juanita Leonard. They went to L.A., which was supposed to be a romantic honeymoon, and instead, he was promoting the Sugar Ray Leonard brand, Sugar Ray Leonard Incorporated. He was doing television talk shows. He was doing Johnny Carson. He was doing Merv Griffin. He was doing the Dinah Shore Show. He was doing the Mike Douglas Show. He was doing all the popular talk shows at the time. He was doing interviews with newspapers and television all over. He'd go to a Wide World of Sports and talk to Howard Cosell. He wasn't focused on the honeymoon because in his book he mentioned he'd be home 8:30, 9 o'clock at night to their luxury hotel suite. He'd come back to the luxury hotel suite at 9 o'clock. And he gave Juanita credit. He said she never once complained. After the quote-unquote honeymoon was over, they came back to Maryland. And Sugar Ray Leonard, Mike Trainer, began negotiating with both Pepino Cuevas' people and Roberto Duran's people. Pepino Cuevas was promoted at that time by Bob Arum. Don King at the time was promoting Roberto Duran. And in the meantime, he signed to fight Davey Boy Green out of England, former European welterweight champion, former European super lightweight champion, former British Commonwealth champion. He was going to face Davey Boy Green, who up until that point in 35 fights had only lost 2 times and had given Carlos Palomino hell before Palomino almost killed him with a single left hook in the 11th round of their June 1977 fight for Palomino's WBC Welterweight Championship. Palomino would lose the title to Benitez in January 79, and Benitez would lose the title to Sugar Ray Leonard November 30th, 1979. So, Sugar Ray Leonard was an overwhelming favorite to beat Davey Boy Green. And my father was like, yeah, this is just a showcase before he fights Duran. My father didn't think Leonard was going to fight Pepino Cuevas. Because my father said that there was minimal money to be made in the unification fight versus Pepino Cuevas. My father said that the biggest fight in boxing to make back then was Sugar Ray Leonard versus Roberto Duran. Because in my father's opinion, and in my opinion, in March of 1980, the two best fighters in the world were Roberto Duran 1 and Sugar Ray Leonard 2. Because up to that point, Roberto Duran had been considered the greatest fighter in the world since the mid-70s, since 1975, 1976. He was the greatest lightweight that ever lived up until that point. He had destroyed the lightweight division. He moved up to welterweight, and he had beaten the legendary Carlos Palomino. And now he was the number one contender ready to face Sugar Ray Leonard. But before that fight could happen, Sugar Ray Leonard had to take care of business versus Roberto Duran, March 31st, 1980. Now, quick backdrop, a quick personal story. I've mentioned this before on my previous incarnation of this podcast when I used to host the Pound for Pound podcast. So I'm going to repeat this on the Hitman Chronicles since I have a lot of new listeners that never listened to the Pound for Pound podcast. On March 31st, 1980, there was a lot of tension in my house because during the past couple of weeks leading up to the fight, my father had bet three different individuals on one of the fights that were going to occur on the undercard. By the way, this night, there were four world title fights. It was a Monday night, March 31st, 1980. ABC television, live in prime time, and there were four fights that night, ladies and gentlemen. Four fights on the night of March 31st, 1980, and the main event would be Larry Holmes defending his title against Leroy Jones, a brutal mismatch. And before the co-main event, which was Sugar Ray Leonard versus Davey Boy Green from Lando. Oh, by the way, they were from different locations. The fights were held in Knoxville, Tennessee, Landover, Maryland, where Sugar Ray Leonard would fight Davey Boy Green, and Las Vegas, where the main event would be held. The heavyweight champion of the world, Larry Holmes, defending his title against Leroy Jones. And that was going to be a brutal mismatch. And my father was like, there's no way in the world Holmes could fight, could lose to Leroy Jones. But before the Sugar Ray Leonard Davey Boy Green fight, the main event in Knoxville, the second fight to be aired that night on ABC in prime time, John Tate would defend his WBA heavyweight championship for the first time, a title he had won in South Africa the previous October in winning Muhammad Ali's vacant title by defeating Jerry Cotsea. John Tate will make his first defense against Mike Weaver, and Tate was a huge favorite. Mike Weaver, the previous June of 1979, had given Larry Holmes hell. He was giving Larry Holmes hell before Larry Holmes knocked him out in the 12th round. But up until that point, Mike Weaver was giving Larry Holmes hell, and the fight was give and take. Because of Mike Weaver's performance against Larry Holmes, my father told everybody that Weaver was going to beat John Tate. And he bet three guys in the neighborhood $100 apiece. So that's $300 total of money that my father didn't have because my father was unemployed at that time collecting unemployment. So my father bet $300, and I'm only 11 years old at the time. I'm not working. My mother had to go on welfare after my father lost his job the previous year. So we were very poor. And we were living in an apartment on Elder and Westchester Avenue in the Bronx that was run by a slumlord. There'd be nights where we had no heat. What saved us was that the slumlord a few months later would disappear, and my father didn't have to pay rent because nobody was manning the building. But then that building would be burnt to the ground in October of this year, October 1980, and we were forced to be put in a family shelter. And a few months later, we were relocated to the Millbrook Housing Projects in the South Bronx. But that's another story for another day. I will talk about that in the future. But right now, we will concentrate on that fateful spring night, March of 1980, March 31st, 1980. So my father made three bets, and I was, my stomach was churning. My mother cursed him out, and my father was like, no, I'm not canceling these bets. Mike Weaver's going to beat John Tate, because the night he fought Larry Holmes, he gave Larry Holmes hell, and Larry Holmes is a much better fighter than John Tate. I said, Pop, Mike Weaver's lost 9 times. Mike Weaver was a journeyman. John Tate thoroughly beat up Jerry Coetzee, who's a better fighter than Mike Weaver. My father was like, no. Mike Weaver is going to win that fight. So, the night of the fight, March 31st, 1980, my father is dead drunk. I mean, he is wasted. He's Jamal Charlo drunk. He's David Benavidez drunk. He is Adrian Broner drunk. He is completely drunk. And at this point in time, and I've mentioned this before on several of my previous podcasts, both on the Hitman Chronicles and my Legends of Sports and Music podcast that you could hear on the same platform you're listening to this podcast, on whatever podcast platform you're listening to the Hitman Chronicles, Legends of Sports and Music. My father was battling alcohol abuse at the time. He was an alcoholic. And whenever he was overly stressed, and there was a lot of stress going on because he bet $300 of money he didn't have. I mean, we was worried. Where were we going to come up with this money, and how was we were going to avoid my father from getting stabbed or shot? Because how is my father going to pay this $300? He don't have the money. We don't have the money. Because there's no way in the world, in my opinion, that Mike Weaver was going to beat John Tate. So when round one begins, my father's dead drunk and my father's talking shit. But by round five, things begin to change with his voice. He begins real quiet. And usually when my father's drunk watching boxing, he's hooping and hollering. John Tate is kicking Mike Weaver's ass from pillar to post. He's banging the body. He's out jabbing, out fighting him, because most of the fight was inside. Mike Weaver had no answers for John Tate. Between round 9 and 10, my father got up and left. He left the apartment. This was around 9:15, 9:30 at night. He left the apartment. So we're watching the fight. I'm watching the fight, and I wanted to turn the TV off, but for some reason, now today, I'll be 56 years old soon. If a fighter that I'm rooting for is getting his ass kicked, I'll turn the TV off and just keep recording it and come back later on to see what's happening. At the age of 11, this was my fourth year of following boxing at the time. I started watching boxing in 1977. I had boxing fever. I just stood there and I was hoping and praying that something would happen. But rounds 12, rounds 13, Weaver still getting his ass kicked. John Tate has won every round in my book. Round 14, maybe you gave it to a Weaver because Tate was exhausted. He should be exhausted. He was he threw like 80% of the punches. Weaver was a punching bag throughout that fight. 15th round, John Tate can't move. He's up against Weaver and still throwing punches, but the punches have nothing on it. Then, with less than a minute left in the round, God intervened on behalf of the Silva family. I'm fighting back tears because the fight has less than a minute left. Keith Jackson is announcing that all Tate has to do is Hold On, and he will retain his title. And with less than a minute left, Mike Weaver landed a short, picture-perfect left hook that paralyzed John Tate for a moment. And then Weaver threw a right uppercut that just missed as Tate fell face first to the floor. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my fucking God. I'm like, oh, my fucking God. Oh, my fucking God. He's not getting up. And then soon as the referee counted to 10, Mike Weaver was so shocked and in jubilation of his incredible come from behind, one of the greatest come from behind knockouts in boxing history, that he collapsed in ecstasy. He collapsed. And so you had both men laying next to each other as all of a sudden my father came through the door. This was God's work, ladies and gentlemen, that he had my father come back to the apartment the minute that Mike Weaver had knocked out John Tate and he collapsed in celebration. My father walks through and he's all fucked up and he's screaming, oh shit, they knocked each other the fuck out. I said, no, Pop. My father's like, oh, they knocked each other out. Nobody wins the bet. I'm okay. I said, Pop. He knocked out John Tate. He collapsed because he won the fight. And then my father said, what? I said, yeah, he won. And then we both started screaming and jumping up and down. And my mother comes out and starts cursing us out in Spanish, saying, shut the fuck up. Robert, your brother and sisters are asleep. Silva, shut the fuck up. You're going to wake up the kids. But we're jumping up and down. And we tell my mother what happened. And my mother's like, get the fuck. Are you fucking kidding me? You mean you won the bet? Yeah. Unreal. Unreal. The next day I come home from school and my mother tells me to come in the kitchen. And my father's sitting down in the kitchen. My father's completely sober because my father slept off the entire morning, went, collected his money. And so when I came home from school around 3 o'clock, they were sitting in the kitchen table. My mother said, sit down. My mother took out the $300 that my father won. Said, this is the money that your father won from the bet. He gave it all to me. Your father has something to tell you. And my father apologized to me because he realized it was a stupid bet and that I was right, that Tate was a better fighter than Weaver and that he got lucky that Weaver won that fight. And that he would never pull a stunt like that again. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see later on in the future on future podcasts whether or not he kept his word. But my father was dead serious. My mother had the money. But time would reveal that John Tate wasn't a better fighter than Mike Weaver. John Tate was never the same fighter after that fight. On the night of June 20th, 1980, he fought Trevor Burbick. And Trevor Burbick knocked him out. And from that point on, John Tate battled mental illness. He battled dementia. He battled substance abuse. And he died at a very young age. And he was never the same. That fight, even though years later, when he died, and my father and I talked about his death, because John Tate died. Let me make sure I got the dates correct, because I believe John Tate died maybe a year or two before my father died. I don't want that John Tate. I want John Tate the boxer. Here we go. Yeah, John Tate died April 9th, 1998. By the way, we are. I'm recording this on the morning of April 11th, 2024. So we just had the 26th anniversary of his death, and March 31st, 1980, the 44th anniversary just passed of this incredible loss he had that destroyed his career because it was never the same. So he died a little bit more than 2 years before my father died. And my father still had his voice when John Tate died. So we talked about how when John Tate died, when we learned of the news of John Tate's death, about how fortunes changed that night for him by losing to Mike Weaver. But had he won the fight, had he held on, my father would have gotten seriously fucked up because he wouldn't have been able to pay these guys. He wouldn't have been able to pay one guy, never mind all three, their $100. My father was a great street fighter, but he wasn't going to beat them three guys. Them guys would have came with pistols and knives. They wouldn't have fought my father one-on-one. And there was no such thing back then as a payment plan when you making a bet in the street. So, it was, man, our one man's luck, one man's good luck is another man's bad luck. And it's a damn shame that that's what happened to John Tate. Now, on to Sugar Ray Leonard versus Davey Boy Green. So now my father's sitting down, we're happy, and we're about to watch in our living room on our 13-inch black and white TV, Sugar Ray Leonard versus Davey Boy Green. And my father's like, I know nobody wanted to bet me. I said, yeah, Pop, because you know Sugar Ray Leonard's not losing this fight. And then my father said, hey, anything could happen. You just saw what happened. I said, Pop, Sugar Ray Leonard is not losing to Davey Boy Green like the way John Tate lost to Mike Weaver. It ain't happening. You were wrong about the last one. All right. Let's just sit back and watch this fight and enjoy it. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we always do here on the Hitman Chronicles when we do the life and times of a fighter, like we did with Muhammad Ali in his 10-part series, like we did with Marvin Hagler in his 10-part series, and like we did with Thomas Hearns in his 10-part series, we're doing again with Sugar Ray Leonard. We recreate the play-by-play of the fight. And I give you the link on your smart TVs, smartphones, laptops, whatever you watch, whatever smart devices you watch, I want you guys to go to your YouTube app. Right? And I'm plugging onto my YouTube app. This might take a minute because for some reason, it's all right, it went through. Okay, go to your YouTube app. Type in Sugar Ray Leonard versus Davey Boy Green on your YouTube app. All right. Click on the channel that says Vintage Boxing. Vintage Boxing, my buddy from the UK, Martin, that's his YouTube channel. In my opinion, is the best YouTube channel in terms of pristine footage. With nothing but legendary fights on there. Okay. Now, you're going to click on to mute your devices. I'm not sure if my device is mute. Yeah, my device is muted. Mute your devices. Then, I made a mistake right here. I forgot to pause this. All right. I got to pause this. All right. While we do this, let me pause it. All right. Go to the 11 minute and 31 second mark of the fight of the link on the Sugar Ray Leonard versus Davey Boy Green Vintage Boxing link, Vintage Boxing YouTube channel. 11 minutes and 31 seconds. Go there, mute your device, pause the fight, pause the video. I'm going to count down from five down, and then when I say hit play. And I will recreate the fight play-by-play between Sugar Ray Leonard and Davey Boy Green. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hit play. There we go. There we go, Davy Boy Green. The legendary Keith Jackson, greatest college football announcer of all time, had announced the previous fight. What's my man's name? I forgot the legendary announcer's name who for years announced the Pro Bowlers tour on ABC. He was the announcer of this fight, as Howard Cosell was in Vegas announcing the Larry Holmes fight. Remember, four title fights from three different locations here the night. And there goes the legendary Arthur McCanty. As round one begins, Sugar Ray Leonard moving more in this fight than he did at in his fight against Benitez. Davy Boy Green had given Carlos Palomino hell 3 years earlier, former British champion, former European champion. His biggest win was probably against Andy Price, the man who in part three we saw Sugar Ray Leonard destroy in the first round and help put Marvin Gaye into a depressive state that began a downfall for Marvin Hagler. I mean, for Marvin Gaye for the next couple of years. Sugar Ray Leonard right now, finally stuck a jab out there. Right now, he's preening. He's posing. Stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. Ooh, nice left hook there by Sugar Ray Leonard. Leonard, stiff jab. He's circling Davy Boy. Nice triple jab there. He's circling Davy Boy Green. Another stiff jab there. Once again, this series is going to show you just how complete of a fighter Sugar Ray Leonard was. In my opinion, the most complete fighter that ever lived. I mean, not ever lived, of my lifetime. Of my lifetime. Let me correct that. 1977 until today. I don't do all-time great lists because I didn't start watching boxing until 77, and I'm not gonna go on so-called boxing historians' expertise about, oh, Sugar Ray Robinson this, oh, Stanley Ketchel that, oh, Harry Greb that. No, I only go by what I saw with my own eyes during my lifetime. Right now, Sugar Ray's the only one throwing anything. Davy Boy Green's done nothing but follow Sugar Ray Leonard around. Sugar Ray Leonard, 2 months into his marriage to Juanita. And in the book, Sugar Ray Leonard is brutally honest about, oh, nice right cross there by Sugar Ray Leonard, about the hell he put Juanita through throughout their marriage. And we'll talk more about that as the series. And the Ali shuffle there by Sugar Ray Leonard as this series progresses. Sugar Ray has danced more in this fight than the entire Benitez fight put together. Because in the Benitez fight, he stayed in the pocket. Here, he's moving and grooving. And he's showing off for his hometown fans as Landover, Maryland is in the backyard of where he grew up in Palmer Park, Maryland. This first round was all Sugar Ray Leonard as he dominated with the jab movement, and Davy Moore didn't land a single punch in this round. End of round one. Round two begins 10-9 Sugar Ray Leonard after one round. Round two has already begun. Left hook there, Leonard caught with his right glove. Davy Moore Green has some pop. He's got like 26 knockouts in his 33 wins. But, oh, nice left uppercut inside. But he doesn't have the skill. He doesn't have the speed or boxing ability or skill to match wits with Sugar Ray Leonard. This, like my father said going into this fight, was a mismatch. Like I said going into this fight, was a mismatch. At this point in time, my father's still bragging about, I told you so, through his drunk lips as watching this fight. I told you Weaver was going to beat Tate. Yeah, the same man that at the end of the ninth round left because he couldn't bear to watch this shit anymore. Davey might have landed that jab. Might have been the first punch he landed in the entire first two rounds. Sugar Ray Leonard circled. Nice left to the body there by Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray Leonard toying with Davey Boy Green. Nice stiff jab. Nice Sugar Ray Leonard with a beautiful left jab in his fight so far. Nice. There goes a right cross left hook to the body by Davey Boy Green. The first combination he's landed. Sugar Ray Leonard once again working off the jab. Davey Boy missed with a right cross there. Nice left hook to the body by Sugar Ray Leonard. Oh, nice left hook inside by Sugar Ray Leonard after Davey Boy landed a combination inside. Nice combination to the body left, and he finished it over with a beautiful left hook. Another left hook, right cross combination. Sugar Ray Leonard landed combination after combination. Stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. A nice combination to the body. A stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. Once again, Sugar Ray dominating this fight, and he's fighting beautifully, dancing, moving, backing up. Nice combination by Sugar Ray Leonard again. Stiff jab. That was a beautiful stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. That left jab by the buckle, Davey Boy Green. His legs did a nice dance there. End of round two, 10-9, 2018, Sugar Ray Leonard after two rounds. Want to mention something. Davey Boy Green is wearing shorts with Adidas, and they're showing John Tate in his locker room as he is definitely suffering from a concussion because his fight was the previous fight, the fight I mentioned, the fight in which he got knocked out by Mike Weaver. And there is Keith Jackson talking to the doctor that examined John Tate, and the doctor's going to tell Keith Jackson that, yes, Dr. Whittle, John Tate's physician, yes, he is suffering from a concussion. And yet, Bob Arum put him to fight John Tate less than three. I mean, had him fight Trevor Burbick less than 3 months later, which you cannot do with a guy who just suffered a concussion. Completely destroying his career as we begin round three. I meant you to say, John Tate came in right as I was mentioning. John Tate's trunks said Adidas. Davey Boy Green's trunks say Adidas. I wonder if the same fate for Davey Boy Green will occur like it happened with John Tate. Maybe wearing Adidas trunks this night might be an omen. We will see. Davey Boy Green coming out with more aggression. More aggression here in round three. Davey Boy Green has gotten off to a good start here in round three. Once again, Sugar Ray popping that jab. Combination to the body finished off with a left hook on top by Sugar Ray. Stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. Davey Boy Green pressing the action now, which is going to give Sugar Ray Leonard more opportunities to counter. Nice left hook to the body there by Davey Boy Green. Davey Boy Green having his best round. Davey just missed with that right, and that was a glancing left hook that just caught Sugar Ray Leonard at the tip of his jaw. Stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. Another stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. Ooh, nice stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. The underrated jab of the Sugar Man. One thing I haven't seen Sugar Ray Leonard do in this fight that he's done throughout his entire career was jab to the body. He hasn't jabbed to the body, yet he's been sticking that jab to the face, like right there. Right cross over the top by Davey Boy Green. Davey Boy Green having some success here in round three. Sugar Ray just made him miss 4 or 5 punches. There goes Sugar Ray, as you saw, with the head movement, a la Ali. Sugar Ray Leonard, heavily influenced by Ali because he idolized Ali. The way he goes back, nice left hook. Another combination there by Sugar Ray Leonard. I'll give Green credit. He's come out with much more fervor in this round. He's missed a lot of shots, but he's been the aggressor in this round. Combination to the body by Sugar Ray Leonard. Nice combination, three-punch combination by Sugar Ray Leonard. Stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. Another stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. The end of round three. Slight edge to Sugar Ray Leonard in that round 10-9. I got a 30-27 after three as we begin round four. Sugar Ray Leonard tilts his head back like Ali used to do throughout his career in order to avoid punches. I haven't seen a fighter do that successfully since Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray continues to circle. Davey Boy continues to pop that jab. Ooh, beautiful left hook there by Sugar Ray Leonard. Ooh, left hook just cuffed Davey Boy Green there. A sold out Landover Mount. Oh, nice three-punch combination there by Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray always focused. Always focused. Another stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. And this was the real very first clinch of the fight. First time we get to see Arthur McCanty separate the fighters here in round four. Less than 30 seconds left in round four. Stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. Got to give Green credit. He's stepped up his output the last couple rounds. Nice right cross there by Sugar Ray Leonard. Left hook by Sugar Ray Leonard. Right uppercut by Sugar Ray Leonard. Ooh, nice shot to the body by Davey Boy Green. Nice right uppercut by Sugar Ray Leonard. Oh, beautiful left hook right down on top. Four-punch combination. Culminating with a left hook, and Davey Boy Green is out. No need to count. The fight is over. Sugar Ray Leonard with a fourth-round knockout of Davey Boy Green. Angelo Dundee looks concerned because Davey Boy Green is unconscious. Dundee looks worried. Dundee looks worried. Oh, man. Okay, there's some movement. Yeah, he's moving his arms. He's moving his arms. So he is conscious. So, ladies and gentlemen, you could stop that right now. You could stop the... You can get out of there. Fourth round knockout for Sugar Ray Leonard. And when the fight ended, my father compared this victory to a fight that I talked about on the Life and Times of Muhammad Ali. He compared this to Muhammad Ali's knockout of Cleveland Williams, in which Ali was on all cylinders. Ali would have at his best. For the rest of Sugar Ray Leonard's career, my father would say that this was Sugar Ray Leonard at his peak in terms of speed, power, athleticism, and skill. Just like the night that Muhammad Ali knocked out Cleveland Williams, Ali was at his height in physical prowess, athleticism, speed, power, skill set, etc. That's what my father compared this to. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to read an excerpt from Sugar Ray Leonard's book about this fight and about his knockout. Let me get to it. If you guys are interested, it's called The Big Fight. It's available on Amazon. Sugar Ray Leonard. Okay, now. As Sugar Ray Leonard was going back to his corner, Sugar Ray Leonard says in his book, "I went immediately from admiration to fear. Get up, Davey," I kept telling myself. "Get up, get up, get up now." Seconds went by that felt like hours, my thoughts racing to the worst of possibilities. Green slowly came to and was placed delicately on a stool near the corner. I felt a huge sense of relief, and all I could think about as I walked down the aisle was how close I had come to killing another human being. Retaining the welterweight crown was the furthest thing from my mind. Okay, now that's the end of the fight. Now, about to reveal something that a lot of people did not know about what happened after the fight. And I'm going to read this verbatim from Sugar Ray Leonard's autobiography. "Little did I know that as I approached the dressing room, another man had gone down, and it was Angelo Dundee." "30 years later, the details remain sketchy. But this much is clear. The blow was delivered by my longtime trainer from Palmer Park, Pepe Correa." Pepe Correa, years later, would be the first trainer for Lennox Lewis when Lennox Lewis turned pro in 1988. "Pepe claims he was walking away from the ring when Angelo told him to get out of the way and used the N-word. Pepe, younger and in better shape than Angelo, popped him with a left hook. Angelo's eyes rolled back, his head hitting the floor. He was out. Fortunately, he regained consciousness before too long. When I heard the news, I got worried that one of Angelo's friends might try to seek revenge against Pepe. Angie, don't let anything happen to him," Sugar Ray Leonard pleaded. "Apparently, I wasn't the only one who was worried. Pepe told me that another member of my team called him to suggest he get out of town. He didn't take his advice. Instead, he said he contacted a friend in the mob and the matter was resolved. In any case, Pepe was wrong to hit Angelo, no matter what Angelo might have said to him." For those of you who do not know, Angelo Dundee was from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Angelo Dundee had a lot of friends in both the Philly Mafia and the Miami Mafia, in which Angelo Dundee ran his Miami Beach Fifth Street gym for many, many years. Ladies and gentlemen, after the fight was over, Sugar Ray Leonard then began to concentrate on who he was going to fight next. Was it going to be Pepino Cuevas or was it going to be Roberto Duran? My father said that there was no way in the world that Sugar Ray Leonard was going to fight Pepino Cuevas. The money wasn't there. The money was against Duran. And yes, soon after his knockout of Davey Boy Green, Sugar Ray Leonard signed to fight Roberto Duran. June 20th, 1980, Sugar Ray Leonard got $8 million. Duran got $1.5 million. And it was an incredible war, 15-round fight in which Roberto Duran won the title and became the new WBC welterweight champion. And Sugar Ray Leonard's reign lasted less than December, January, March, April, May, June, 7 months. Next time on the Life and Times of Sugar Ray Leonard Part 6, we will talk about the infamous rematch that occurred in the Superdome, New Orleans, Louisiana, November 25th, 1980. That will be on the next installment of The Life and Times of Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm going to leave you with the post-fight interview between... Man, I forgot the man's name. You know what? I gotta get his name because this is really bothering me. This is really bothering me. Pro Bowlers Tour announcer, ABC announcer. Because this is really bothering me that my brain is forgetting who this legendary announcer was. He was on Wide World of Sports and Pro Bowlers Tour forever and a day. Oh, man. Chris Schenkel. God, Lord. You're going to hear Chris Schenkel interview Sugar Ray Leonard as we end the podcast. Before I send it over to the interview between Chris Schenkel and Sugar Ray Leonard, I'll be back in a few days. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, in a few days, I'll be doing a fight recap show of the ESPN card this Saturday night featuring heavyweights in two separate fights, Jared Anderson and Efe Ajagba. And then next week, we'll be back with part six of the Life and Times of Sugar Ray Leonard, the rematch between Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. Enjoy this interview, and everybody continue to be blessed and be a blessing.
Ray Leonard, who felt he could find the target, and he certainly did in the fourth round. We had him winning the first, a draw in the second, and now look at the replay. Look at this. Set him up with three punches, and then the clincher. Watch it again. A right hand lead followed by a left hook, and that would just knock the head off of most people, and it knocked the 26-year-old challenger out. Oh, another beautiful angle by our ABC crew. They're great. You just joined us, 2:27 of the fourth round, and the left hook. Still champion Sugar Ray Leonard. We're going to leave from here as the fight is over and Leonard is still the champion. We'll be talking to him in a moment. Sugar Ray, I know the pressure to win the title was tough against Benitez, and now your first title defense. I've never seen you look better, your reflexes.
But Chris, like I said earlier, the fact of being a champion, now I'm more relaxed, more content. I'm able to do what I want to do now without the additional pressure. When I fought Benitez, I fought a basic fight. You didn't see Sugar Ray Leonard. You saw Ray Leonard because I had the basic to take the fight and take the title from Benitez.
You know, you hit him so hard with those beautiful combinations. We get a look at him, and spaghetti legs, he was out for quite a long time. I know you went over and talked to him. Was he coherent?
Well, in my whole career of 10 years, this is the first time I really was scared because I hit the guy with a dynamite left hook, and I mean, he was laying out, and I really was scared for him.
Well, I heard this man between us, Angelo Dundee, tell you to get him standing still, get him in. Now we look at it, hear a comment.
Well, here, I'm beginning to get more flat-footed. Like I said in the interview, when I found his weakness, which the fact I could hit with the uppercuts, and here with the right uppercut and left hook did the number on him. It was a clean left hook.
Clean, it couldn't be more perfectly timed. I know Ali and Sugar Ray Robinson, two of your heroes, very proud of that combination. Angelo, you must be.
Well, we're thrilled because, you know, when you get a job done, you know, Dave Jacobs had this kid in great shape. Jenks Morton did his thing. You know, like I always tell everybody, it's teamwork, and this kid does the end result.
Well, congratulations. You're a heck of a hero. Good friend, too. Sugar Ray Leonard and Angelo Dundee. Okay.